Today on Real Life Radio.
The push in Israel to receive the Messiah. The last time I was there, they had banners hanging from hotels to look for the Messiah. The tragic thing is, the Messiah that they're looking for is the wrong one. There will not be peace in Israel that will last until the Prince of Peace comes back, and that's Jesus Christ. We're living in a very exciting time.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his study called the Book of Revelation with a message called The Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Now, here in chapter 6, we're given yet another key to understanding a series of events known as the Great Tribulation. This 7-year period is going to be a time of great deception that begins with a treaty with the nation of Israel and her surrounding enemies. You see, the events leading up to the tribulation period, they sound familiar these days. A world trying to live without God, without moral values, without demanding peace and prosperity. But only one man will come on the scene to do that job, and we identified him as the Antichrist. He is Satan personified and the first rider of the apocalypse. Behind the mask, well, he hides the face of an imposter, riding in on a white horse promising stability. But soon we'll see that he leaves a path of terrible devastation like the world has never seen or will see again. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that those who rejected Christ's offer of salvation before the rapture, everything's going to backfire. Those who remain on the earth in the tribulation period will experience the horsemen riding in to bring tragedy and war. Now in his message called The Horsemen of the Apocalypse, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We now come to chapter 6, and chapter 6 commenced last week with the advent of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And we saw the first rider was on a white horse, and that he was an interesting fellow because he went out conquering and to conquer. He went out with a bow, not a sword. He had a bow in his hand, and he had a crown on his head. And a lot of careless Bible students have assumed that that's Jesus Christ, because Jesus in the book of Revelation is associated in being on a white horse. That's true in Revelation 19, but not in chapter 6. This is none other than the first rider of the apocalypse, or of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and this is none other than Mr. 666 himself, Mr. Antichrist, Mr. Son of Perdition, Mr. Evil, you know. He's the man that the Bible prophesies throughout the book of Daniel and Revelation and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah. This one who is known in Scripture as the idol shepherd. He is dangerous and he is extremely deceiving. The Bible says that he will come out of what once was the ancient Roman Empire. The Bible, by the way, gives us great indications as to who this man is. He is a man. I shared with you last week, I personally believe, it's my conviction. I'm not asking you to ascribe to it. It doesn't matter. But when I look around at the world scene and I see what's happening in the earth and in the world and the advent of the evils that are and how they're increasing so much more quickly and more blatantly. And when I take a look at the natural disorders in the world, I believe that this man is alive somewhere in the world today, that he's being prepared and groomed. This man that the Bible talks about will come on the scene. Daniel says he'll be a man speaking great persuasive words to the world. The Bible says that this man will meet with Israel. Now that's about a 3,000-year-old prophecy. He's going to meet with the nation Israel and their enemies. Well, number one there, Mr. Skeptic, listen up if you have doubts about the Bible. That's a prophetic word from the Scripture, and that clearly challenges us to think of a few things. Number one, there would have to be an Israel for that to happen in. And on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation a second time. There would have to be an assumption that there would be a cry for peace in the Middle East. For this man will barter a 7-year peace agreement with the nation Israel and its surrounding enemies. That would mean that Israel would have to have enemies around it. And that's exactly what we see today. You would have to presuppose that there would be a need for some almost savior type man to come in and do what all others have failed at doing. with all of the attempts to get peace treaties in the Middle East, they're all going to fail. Every one of them will fail and lead to frustration in the world until a man will arise out of Europe and he will be the one who meets with Israel and generates a 7-year peace treaty on paper with the nation Israel and its neighbors. You can watch your news as things are being groomed in that direction. This man, according to the book of Revelation, John gives us an insight that he's upon a white horse. He's the anti or instead of imposter Christ. And Israel, for the first 3.5 years of that treaty, will hail him as Messiah. Now, in a couple of months, a bunch of us are going to be going to Israel, and we're going to see the push in Israel to receive the Messiah. The last time I was there, they had banners hanging from hotels to look for the Messiah. The tragic thing is, the Messiah that they're looking for is the wrong one. There will not be peace in Israel that will last until the Prince of Peace comes back, and that's Jesus Christ. We're living in a very exciting time. So in Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2, we saw the first rider upon the white horse. Now we come to the other horsemen of the apocalypse that follow in his line of authority. Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, and we look now at the horsemen of the apocalypse. John says, and when he opened the second seal, that's Jesus Christ, opening the second seal of that seven-sealed scroll, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse was fiery red, and he went out, and it was granted unto him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there should be given unto him a great sword. Now, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Verse 7, then he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him, and the power was given unto him that he might rule over a quarter of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. People, we're talking about a world now that completely backfires on the agenda of humanity. A world that is, listen, crying out for God, but God their way. That may not make sense to you. Listen carefully. The world is coming to a point where you will see a collective cry, according again to the book of Daniel, that the world will come together in one voice demanding peace from its global leaders. And the Bible says that out of a worldwide cry for peace, there will be 10 kings, 10 global leaders that will arise and form some sort of a council representing the powers that be of the world at that time. And out of that council of 10, an unsuspecting, no man will arise that the Bible calls him an 11th king. He will arise, and out of the 10 plus the 1, the 11, he will be the predominant broker among 3 other players out of this union of global politicians. Out of that conglomerate, rising 4 most outspoken, most dynamic, the Bible says that this little guy who comes on the scene persuasively will then begin to speak great swelling words about himself and against the God of heaven, says the book of Daniel. And he will swoon the Israeli people into believing that he is on their side, and he will break this covenant of peace in the midst of a 7-year contract of agreement. This man, the Bible says, will put down strongly the 3 other kings that rule with him so that he is the sole recognized leader of the world. A lot of people believe, I don't know if it's true, we'll have to see, but a lot of people say that's the whole movement behind the forming of the United Nations, that the Secretary General's position of the United Nations is that the desires of the other nations outside of the United States and England at this point would cause that position to be more powerful than the presidency of the United States of America. That is the goal, to weaken the power of the presidency of the United States or the Prime Ministership of England to take down the British pound, which is not part of the euro, interestingly enough, nor is the US dollar. But listen, I know some of you are investors. I had some investors tell me later, after first service, how much profit they've made that they, over 2 years ago, bought a truckload of euros when it was 74 cents to the dollar. And now you look at what the euro is doing to the US dollar today around the world, and it is absolutely being empowered by the unification of Europe. And the Bible speaks about this, that the old Roman Empire would come back together after the rebirth of the nation Israel. You know, with that, I could say goodnight and God bless, and we'll see you later. I mean, think about it. Are you a skeptic this morning? Wake up! This Bible says Israel would become a nation again, and there would be, after that, the reassembling of the old Roman Empire. We're living in it. You can expect the United States to dwindle in its influence somehow. You can expect the United States to dwindle in its financial prowess in the world. You can expect the United States to become weaker so that the euro and the European Union and its soon coming world leader will arise and take the global scene. This is what the Bible says. But it will be a world that will cry out to have the peace of God without God. They don't want anything to do with God. And I've told you when I just got back from Germany, how in Europe it's being announced that the unification will have no pledge and no allegiance stating anything to do with God. It is a union without God. Why? Because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that when this man comes on the scene, he will declare himself to be God. Isn't that interesting? And the Bible says the world will join ranks with him. We're talking about the Antichrist. And right now we're talking about a world without God. We look at their first point this morning, verses 3 and 4. And it is a world without God. And whenever that happens, it is a world that's lost its values. That's lost its values. How so? Well, first of all, it will be a world full of peril. It says in verse 4, and another horse, a fiery red horse, came out and was granted unto him to take peace from the earth. This is a tragic thing. The world, the Bible says, will become a more perilous place. Is that not true right now? Is the world not becoming more perilous? Now, listen, you might say this morning, I can't believe I got out of bed and came through the rain to hear this bad news. It's not bad news. It's not bad news at all. In fact, if you listen carefully, like some of those in the first service, they made a decision that will affect the outcome of their lives regarding what we're reading. Church, Christian, listen, spectator, you don't have to be here at this time that we're reading about in Revelation chapter 6. You don't have to be here. I believe the Bible teaches clearly without doubt that the rapture of the church will come before this man of sin is revealed on the earth. That the rapture will take place. Christ, the Bible says, will come back and take the bride of Christ, which is called the church, unto himself. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, the Antichrist, who the Bible says the Lord will consume with the breath of his coming. That's the second coming of Christ. What a tremendous promise. So this is actually good news. You might say, well, look, if we're not going to be here, then why do we need to study this most unfortunate news? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you up front right now. If we're going to miss it, why and how could we be the only ones to be content with that? I'm going to miss it. That's fine with me and my family. What are you saying? Jesus said, if you look to somebody who doesn't know the truth or is in great need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, says the old King James. You know what that word means? If you shut up your gut, your heart, where are you feel everything at? If you close the door on the demise of others, the Bible says, how can the love of God dwell in you? You see, if you're a Christian this morning, you're going to miss this stuff. But if you're a Christian this morning, we've got to study this stuff. So we leave these doors today and go out there and give hope to people who, first of all, have got their head buried in the sand regarding the things that you take for granted. That there's a day coming when they're going to want to know how to escape this mess, to escape the coming storm. And you're the one, and I'm the one that's got the answer because the Bible tells us. And we want to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. It will be a world in peril, and it's going to be a world increasing in peril. Now, has this white horse come out yet? No. Is the red horse out yet? No. But we see things happening in the world that's clearly indicating that we're well on our way to such perilous times. Peace will be taken from the earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says that this man who comes will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped as God, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. People, that's fantastic, because in Israel, they want a temple built on the Temple Mount. That's why there's so many word battles and physical battles between the Palestinians and the Jews regarding the Temple Mount. It's all over territory. You can be Bill Gates this morning and you cannot buy the Temple Mount. Did you know that? It's not for sale. Can't have it. That's the most hotly contended piece of real estate on the planet. Why? Because during the tribulation period or before, a temple will be built there to the Jewish nation, for the Jewish nation. That's going to breed all kinds of wars and fights unless this peacekeeper man comes in and says, hey, to the Muslims and to the Palestinians, how about if we come to this agreement? And the Bible says there's going to be a fence built, a wall built, right down the middle of the Temple Mount. The Dome of the Rock will be on one part, and the temple will be on the other part. This man will come in to deceive. But 3.5 years. Now, Bible students, mark this down. This is most significant. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, you can put a circle around it and write the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Verses 3 through 8, you can write the last half of the 3.5 year period. The 7 year tribulation period is divided up into two segments. First 3.5, second 3.5. First 3.5 categorized by deception and peace and prosperity, led on by the Antichrist. People will be deceived by wealth. They'll be deceived by his peace efforts. But the last half will be gross violence upon the earth, and that's what we're looking at right now. Peace will be taken from the earth. As bad as the world is right now, this has not yet happened. Can you believe that? A friend of mine told me, who's a police officer, LAPD, he said, you know, 10 years ago, people would walk up on the streets or try to rob somebody in LA, and they'd say, give me all your money, I'm going to shoot you. 10 years ago. He said, now they don't even say, give me all your money. He says, now they just walk up, shoot you, and take your $3 right out of your pocket, because your life isn't worth a thing. Why is that the case? Because we're living in a world that is getting ready to live without God. We live in a godless age. Everybody's got everything against God, against the Bible, against Jesus. They can't point to anything that's real, but they've got everything against them. And Jesus said in the last days, you, Christian, you will be hated because you're in association with me in my name. And that's exactly the world we're going toward. But listen, people, we're living in a world, and this world that we're looking at in Revelation 6 will be a world without God and a world that's lost its values. It will be a perilous world, no consideration for life. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, the Bible says, know this. I love the way Paul talks. He would say, it's a pretty strong word. He'd say, hey, listen up. He'd say to us today in our vernacular, wake up. He might even say, smell the coffee. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. Are we not there? Lovers of money. Will people do anything for money? Even eat pig uteruses on TV? Or donkey stuff? For how much? How much? $50,000? Have they ever thought about the medical bills they're going to have to pay for to get that stuff out of their system? Let alone the fact, I can't watch that stuff. I can watch when they're swinging over the canyon and the guy drops into the water and all that. That's kind of cool. But as soon as they pull out the bugs and guts, I gotta go. There's something about defiling the temple of God. It's wrong. You were not made to eat a monkey nose. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do that. We live in a twisted age. Anything for money. Sex for money. Steal for money. Anything, pranks for money. Men will be lovers of money, the Bible says in the last days. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Slanders, that means they pull their tongue out and cut your character in half and pull their tongue back like a snake. People will do that without the fear of God, without self-control. Having no patience, their temper is out of control. Explosive people, brutal, it says, despisers of good, calling good evil and evil good. Are we not there? Oh man, we're there. And it hasn't even started yet. Can you imagine? I mean, we're there. It's getting worse. You say, Pastor, I wish I wouldn't have come today. No, it gets better. Hang on, it gets better. You just they'll move. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here's the most tragic part of all. 2 Timothy 3:5 says that they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such people, turn yourself away from them. Did you hear that? Would you like to hang out? Would you have these people clean out your garage? Would you have them balance your checkbook? The people listed here? They have a form of godliness, says the Bible. Are you ready to receive that? It says that they look like Christians. They have a form of godliness. Nice church, nice clothes, nice words, good-looking family or good-looking person, very moral-looking. But you know what? Just wait till Sunday's over. They go back to the things listed in verses 1 through 4. They're Christians on Sunday, but you can't find Christ in them on any other day of the week. They're make-believe. They're false. Because once they get out of church and they've done their religious thing, and see, as long as they don't get into a relationship with God, they don't know what it's like, they've never had it, but boy, are they religious. They've got all the I's dotted, the T's crossed regarding membership and tithing and service and lineage and heritage regarding Christian circles. But they deny the power thereof. What is that a reference to? They will not let the Holy Spirit govern their lives in Christ. They don't follow Him. That is a frightening age in which you and I live in. Everybody's a Christian at the right time. Depends on who you're talking to. That's tragic. It's going to increase, says the Bible. And then we see anarchy. Verse 4, people should kill one another. Can you believe that? Kill one another. The word in the Greek, it's bad enough, just the word in English to kill. It's to murder. They murder each other. People will increasingly murder one another, murder almost for sport. And that it says, in those days in Israel, we had no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you know what the definition, you know what the word is that's being defined in that verse? Humanism. Humanism is the existence of mankind without God. Humanism is what evolution was born on. When humanism gave birth, its brainchild was evolution. Evolution is a scientific mockery. It's a joke, and that's why so many scientists don't even hold to it anymore. They're embracing what's called the intelligent design theory because evolution is bankrupt of facts. The truth of the matter is, though, it is still a great place to argue that life is not all that precious. Why? Because there is no God. Somehow we climbed out of a primordial ooze, and it's the survival of the who? Fittest. Look out for number who? One. If it feels good, what? Do it. Look, boy, you know those verses good in the humanistic Bible. You got it down. You just said it. That's the manifesto.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called The Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Thanks for being with us today. The Horsemen of the Apocalypse is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, a lot of Americans are on the internet talking about how this world should be moving towards a socialistic society. They think it promises a utopia. But do they really know what they're asking for? Well, if you think about it, really it's repeating a total nightmare. History's proven over and over again that socialism is not the idyllic answer, nor does it make for happy people. Pastor Jack's book of the month for March is called Socialism: The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. It's by William J. Federer. Now that's an impressive title for an equally impressive and eye-opening book. Is socialism the dream of an ideal society? Is communism the same as socialism? Are the crises we face right now an attempt for governmental control? And the most important question, how does God fit into all of this, and what does the Bible say about it? Find the answers to these questions and more, and when you do, share this book with anyone and everyone you know. Again, the book of the month for March is called Socialism: The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.